We've seen signs of economic recovery in just about every part of the economy, except one: housing. Housing seems to be totally intransigent. Housing prices fell in January. That was the sixth month in a row that happened. They're barely above the lows that they reached in the depths of a recession. Sales of homes still weak. The price of homes, the value of homes, not really going up in most places. The Obama administration has a program to deal with foreclosures. It's called HAMP, the Home Assistance Modification Program. But it's gotten criticism from all sides, liberals and conservatives alike, and now it might go away altogether. Joining us is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. And what happened last night is that the House voted to terminate HAMP, right?
That's right. So, you know, you don't want to talk about it too much in the present because HAMP might go away. It's been with us for 2 years. It's one of the first things Obama did when he came in 2009 was he said, we've got to, you know, aim a gun at this foreclosure problem and shoot it out.
Pop gun.
And it hasn't worked. So there are a lot of reasons why it hasn't worked. But at the root of it are really a lot of conflicts in the way the program was designed. And a couple of my colleagues have a piece in the New York Times today. And one of the conflicts they highlight that I really hadn't heard about until their story, it's a very interesting one, is a conflict at Fannie and Freddie. And so when the Obama administration designed this program, and what the program was supposed to do was to get servicers, big banks and companies that service your mortgage, take your payments, to get them to modify you instead of foreclosure.
Get you lower payments.
Get you lower payments so you could stay in your home and stop this housing price spiral.
But give the banks an incentive, because if they foreclose, they have to write down.
Right. So they were supposed to give them an incentive to foreclose, give them a little payment on each one to help them be willing to change, to modify, for instance,
right,
take a lower interest rate.
The banks have to hold it as an asset
for
them to do that. They have to hold it as an asset, not something that's dead, right?
Well, and really what's going on here is the banks are the servicers, which mean they collect your payments every month. And so they may or may not actually own the loan. It could be off in some mortgage security somewhere.
Right.
But still, they needed an incentive because as a servicer, they, oddly enough, could make more money foreclosing than modifying. And so the government got Fannie and Freddie, the wards of the state, to administer the program. You know, we all own Fannie and Freddie now because we bailed them out in 08. But here's the conflict, which is so interesting, is that Fannie and Freddie do a ton of business with these banks, okay? In order for them to create a viable business going forward, they don't want to get on the wrong side of these banks, okay? And in fact, Freddie said in an SEC filing even that they didn't feel that they could crack down too hard on banks who weren't following through on this because it could hurt their other business relationships.
You know, I got to ask you, Neil Barofsky, he was the watchdog for the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. He made a comment about HAMP, and here's what he said. It's a program that only benefits a small portion of distressed homeowners, offers others little more than false hope, and in certain cases causes more harm than good. I can understand how maybe people won't get the modification that they want, and therefore, you know, it's kind of neutral. It doesn't help. But how does it cause more harm than it helps?
Well, it has raised a lot of hopes of people, and then things haven't come through. And when you sit down at, you know, your dining room table with your husband at night and you think about, what are my options? Maybe you think, well, you know, I'm going to keep making the mortgage payment and I'm going to instead build up credit card debt because I want to keep making the mortgage payment because I have this hope of a modification. But if you knew earlier that that's not coming through,
you wouldn't have taken on
you might not have made the choices,
right?
You might not have made the choices you've made. And think of these numbers. So when Obama announced this 2 years ago, he put aside $50 billion to cover all these modifications. And he said it would help, you know, 3 to 4 million people. Well, here we are 2 years later. It's helped 600,000 people and they've only spent $1 billion. So that $49 billion is lost hope. It could have driven a lot of decisions of people that they would not have made otherwise.
But is that to say that foreclosure is worth more than the $49 billion Obama put aside to these banks?
Well, you know, in some cases, foreclosure is faster, easier money for them.
And they can get it off their books. Okay, now explain to me why they haven't modified the program, because all sides, the Congressional Black Caucus, many Republicans, they've recommended fixes to Timothy Geithner, asking him to modify the HAMP. And why hasn't that happened?
Well, so, and in fact, they have made some changes. So, like last summer, for instance, they announced that they would start a $1 billion program that would help specifically unemployed people with modifications. But the problem is they haven't accepted applications to that yet. They haven't gotten it going. So this appears to be really mired in just a lot of bureaucracy. And again, they don't have a good tool to force the banks to do what they want them to do, okay, because it's all voluntary. And if you think back to where we were 2 years ago, it seems like it might be a missed opportunity because 2 years ago when this was created, the banks still had bailout money.
Yeah.
Okay? And they created this as a voluntary program. But because the banks still had bailout money 2 years ago, they could have made it mandatory.
Yeah, they had leverage.
And they didn't. But now they don't have as much leverage. And so it's really hard to get these institutions to do what you want. And remember, the banks have a fiduciary duty to seek profit. So they're supposed to do whatever makes them the most profit for their shareholders. And now there's this other duty to society. You know, this is just not how banks and companies often work. And
Liz,
so it's a conflict.
Can I ask you a personal question, Elise? Do you sit down at home with your husband regularly and go, honey, what are our options kind of thing?
Well, of course.
Really?
I mean, you always talk about your finances.
That's incredible.
Why?
Oh, yeah. My wife and I are flying blind through a cloud of fog. What are you talking about? We're like most Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't sit down and go through
Well, we do kind of. I don't know. The idea of sitting down and going, hey, honey, what are our options kind of thing. It just sounds so rational and calm, cool, and collected.
Well, I'm a business reporter,
<That's>
so,
<right.
laughs> you know.
I was a music major, and I do that. Well, I mean,
it'd be more like, here are our options, you nutcase. Why did you buy that? It
was oh, no, that's just the way.
We use a spreadsheet. Yeah. You know, it's all very organized.
All right, I don't do the spreadsheet. But the headline here is that the House voted to terminate the Home Assistance Modification Program last night. There's still doubts that that termination will actually pass the Senate, and President Obama says he will probably veto it if it comes to his desk. We'll see what happens. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks as always, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.